So we've already announced a set of very specific sanctions against Russian individuals who were effectively in the chain of command that ordered this invasion. That's an important message, but let's be honest, that alone doesn't change the calculus in Moscow. So the next step, now that it's very clear that they are going to and have annexed effectively Crimea, is economic sanctions. Now, those are tougher to swallow for the countries that are imposing them because Russia does have the ability to bite back. If we were to move forward with sanctions on Russian petrochemical companies to perhaps stop or decrease the gas flow into Europe, if we were to sanction Russian banks that have loads of money in Europe, places like Frankfurt and London, that would have catastrophic type effects for the Russian economy, which is at a perilous moment to begin with. But it would also have effects on Europe, not as much, I think, in the United States. Again, I just think that if we understand the message that this aggression unchecked has for the world, Europe would be smart to join with us on these next level sanctions against the Russian economy.
And I know European leaders meeting today and talking about some of this. So what can Europe do? What can Europe add to U.S.-led sanctions in order to bite a little harder against Vladimir Putin?
Well, Europe can essentially – they can do a host of things. They can – look for other sources of energy other than Russian energy companies. That's not easy, but it is possible given some of the other opportunities to bring in gas. The United States can help with that. We have LNG resources that maybe not in the short term but in the medium and long term can help the European economy. They can freeze the assets of a greater number of Russian individuals. They can stop their companies from doing business with Russian banks. What the question here for Putin is how much economic pain is he willing to sustain? He had 50,000 people out in the streets of Moscow last weekend protesting this invasion. Now, that's actually a pretty big deal in Russia to get 50,000 people out given the reprisals that normally come against those organizers. If you see a cratering of the Russian economy, which won't happen overnight, I mean this will happen over a longer period of time, there will be a level of economic and popular unrest that makes Putin very uncomfortable and will certainly at least chill his ambitions to march into other places like Moldova, back into parts of Georgia or into eastern Ukraine.
But before we take a break, I just have to ask you a question about these sanctions. I understand that after the U.S. imposed some sanctions on individuals, Vladimir Putin made his own list of people in the United States government who are going to be have sanctions imposed against them. Were you one of those people?
I won't take it personally if I'm not on the list, but
you don't know if you're on the list.
No, I don't. I don't think their list has actually been released. I think it's only been sort of speculation as to who's going to be on the list. There had been some speculation that all the members of our trip are going to be on that list. You know, I mean, it will have a personal effect on my life. I mean, I own about a 30% stake in Gazprom. So if I all of a sudden can't do business in Russia, then it's going to fundamentally change my investment structure.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure. I read that with some interest, and I thought I thought you might be disappointed if you weren't on the list. But we'll see.
Well, I told people, yeah. I told the folks that John McCain, in particular, like if you really want to make John McCain angry, Russia would not put him on the list. That would actually be the thing that would be a sanction on John McCain.
I know. I'm sure of that.